morning. This is Shar Rogers.
Good morning, Shar. It's Betty.
Good morning, Betty. How are you doing?
I'm great. How about you?
Doing great.
Good.
On a busy week, after a more than busy weekend.
Wow.
You know, everybody has them, don't they? So we shouldn't even talk about it.
But that's what makes our life go round and round, huh?
It is. It just, you know, it amazes me to think that we're supposed to be into retirement and things can get just, you know, I think they're as crazy as when I had five of my own boys and another three of my own boys. And let's see, another 9 other kids in the household.
Oh, wow.
At times, that's the number that counted up to was 12 little ones.
Oh, my goodness.
Yep, that was at my peak child part of my life that lasted a few years while they were younger. Did some daycare back then. You know, it takes a lot of energy. I don't know that I'd have the energy to do it that same way.
Yeah, well, I know I wouldn't.
I know that there's days that I know I expend more than that, but, you know, on a consistent basis, no. Somebody else just joined us. Would you like to say hi, or is it just too busy? Good morning. So, anyway, Betty, what happened with you over the weekend? Anything that was a little different, a little unusual, or just something that you did that you'd forgotten about before?
No, nothing exciting or really different other than, you know, just the usual doing some things in the yard that I love to get out and putzy around with dealing with making things look nicer, prettier, whatever out there, and just getting the hands dirty.
You know, I'm looking forward to more of that. We aren't to our planting time here yet because we're still dropping below 30 degrees, which doesn't give me much of an incentive to plant
anything,
even in the garden for other people, because we probably, as we anticipate, won't be here to reap the benefits. Well, you know, it could be later in the season, but much later. Anyway, so do you garden also?
Little garden.
Okay.
I do some tomatoes and just whatever, lots of herbs, and just whatever I find that strikes my fancy kind of thing to try for a year.
Well, you know, there's so many things now that we're eating. Makes me think that when I just talked to Ruth Williams over the weekend, she was out collecting her Swiss chard out of the garden already.
Oh, wow, how nice.
And, you know, Swiss chard has a beautiful foliage on it.
Yes.
And can look very attractive planted in with flowers or whatever. So you could just make a gorgeous intermixed flower, herbs, and vegetable garden.
Yeah,
and then
with these
hanging topsy-turvy tomato plants, which I saw actually one on display that was planted. I may have said this on the call. I said it to a couple of people anyway. That was hanging in Home Depot, and it already had the tomatoes on it. It had bloomed, and the tomatoes were already formed on the plant.
Oh,
and
wow.
That was hanging outside in their covered, they may have had it indoors earlier, you know, to start it. I don't know.
Sure.
I'm sure they started with a plant already in it. I don't think they started from seed. That would be a little much to have it done already. But it was hanging outside in just the covered area where the outdoor plants are, where they
yeah.
get protected, but not, you know, not heat.
Right.
Not a heated area. So anyway, I thought, my goodness, that thing probably really does grow the way they show it pictured. You know, I never had seen one, and I complimented the gal on it that was talking about it. I didn't know that she was talking to me because I had my back to her. I was walking away at that point, but there was another girl clerk there also. And they were in conversation, and I overheard it, and I turned, and I said, "You mean you've really got one planted? I've never seen one on display that was planted." And she goes, "It is." And they might even come with the seeds. No, I don't think so. I don't think they're.
No, I just bought one of those this weekend.
Oh, did you?
Yes. So, yes, I got the topsy-turvy hanger and a bracket to put it on the side of my porch, and then I got the soilless potting soil so that it's light and doesn't,
okay.
You know, you can't put the regular dirt from the garden in it.
Uh-huh.
Too heavy.
And then what about, like, fish fertilizer to fertilize it?
I just have some regular tomato fertilizer that I'm going to put in there because I got a something that I never have tried before that's a white cherry tomato. So,
oh, my God.
Yeah, so I thought I'd try that and put it in there and keep it closer to the house so I can observe what's happening with it.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah.
That's a great idea. You're going to have to keep us updated on that one.
Okay. Yeah, so I'm anxious to get that going probably today.
Great. And how big is your plant that you're putting in there?
Oh, gee, it's only about 3 inches, between 3 and 4 inches tall.
Oh, okay, a small one.
Yeah.
I like doing that because I think they have a much better start.
Right. Right. So I've just been hardening off the plants that I picked up from a greenhouse, but a little herb place, and they have tomatoes, lots of different heirloom tomatoes, and just all different herbs and things that are organically, well, I have a tough time saying that this morning, don't I? Organically done.
Okay. I'm sure you already know this, but if there's some other wannabe gardeners or newer gardeners on the phone, you know, you can buy actually the taller tomato plants and then bury the stem. I usually do it sideways in the ground. I don't dig the hole that deep. But I lay it out crosswise in a narrow planter like what you're putting it in, the topsy-turvy. You wouldn't be able to lay it that much underground. But that will make a full root system and make the plant much sturdier. So, in other words, you just lay it on an angle. When you plant it, the whole tomato in, say, a 2-foot-wide hole or an 18-inch-wide hole, and take and put that whole stem that's all except for about maybe 3 or 4 inches. It could be like a 1-foot plant or a 2-foot plant, and bury about 2/3 of that stem into the ground, and it will make a root base all along that stem and give a lot more support to the tomato.
Yes, I do that.
Okay, good. I was, for the amount of gardening you were talking about and how you were experimenting, but, you know, a lot of people wouldn't know to do that, right?
Exactly, yes, absolutely. I've come across a lot of people that aren't aware of that little trick.
Yeah, and that's on tomatoes. I don't know about a lot of other vegetables, but I remember Denny's dad when he was first teaching me to do more gardening. Because, you know, I didn't pay any attention as I was growing up. I only had to do the weeding and the things I was told to do, so it wasn't really that much of a learning curve.
Mm-hmm.
But he was a great gardener, and I learned a lot from him that I really appreciate to this day. So, you know, I just, all this stuff starts rolling through my head about this time, just even talking about it. So we don't want to bore everybody else with gardening that they don't do unless they've got a gardening question that they'd like for two of us this morning. I don't hear any takers, or a comment that's a favorite of yours or something you're going to try in your garden this year. Well, I decided I'm going to do a little more gardening with the idea of preserving than I've done for years. I did thousands and thousands of jars when my kids were growing up. But after watching QVC and getting myself in trouble with the goodies on QVC last night, Denny came walking through and I said, you better change channels, because if there's one more thing on there, because they were doing all kitchen stuff, if there's one more thing in there, this is going to be a national debt by the time I order. So he goes, I'll turn it off right now. And I said, well, I didn't say you had to turn it off. Just put it on something you want to see. Because I can easily get hooked into things. How many of you use pressure cookers?
I do.
Okay, so that's three of you I heard say I do, and I think one of them sounded like Loretta. I'm going to trick you guys into this. Loretta, Jeannie, and who else?
Betty,
okay. I already got Betty down.
What'd you find?
I found another one. It's a smaller one. It will be my travel pressure cooker. Dottie and I were on the phone yesterday talking about pressure cookers. So when she comes to visit next week, she's bringing her pressure cooker because she says it's so old she doesn't think they have the instructions with it. And I said, well, I don't know about sometimes old is not better because they're not simple to use. It might still have the pressure gauge on it where I think my mom's was, because she said it was her mother's, 5, 10, 15 pounds. Jeannie, do you remember that? Or Betty, do you remember that?
I do.
Loretta does? Okay. And do you still work with that one, Loretta?
No.
Okay. So you're not going to be a help at all unless you remember what you did. I don't know whether the cookbooks anymore say what pressure amount to cook things at, for one thing. And the new ones, the new one I've got doesn't have that, and the one I just ordered has it just gauged, I guess, low, medium, or high or something. I don't know about the book, so I've got to check on that one today. Anyway, it's a 4-quart. The one I'm working with now is an 8-quart, and I know that's what yours is too, Jeannie. It's an 8-quart. But I did soup in it last night just because it was on my mind, and it was 6 minutes the first time, and the second time was a simmer with the pressure off, just open kettle, and it was 5 minutes just to simmer the frozen corn. That was all that was thawing out. It was the corn chowder out of that recipe book, and Denny just went ape. He saw that there was only one more, like, cup-sized serving for each of us. He goes, why did you make such a small amount? That was what was left over because we were eating very light last night. And he says, why did you make such a small amount? And I said, well, I was just testing the recipe. You never test recipes that sound like that with that small of an amount, was his comment back to me. But if you've got it, I did the modification, of course, because it was not plant-based. It started out with 3 slices of bacon, which I would not use. I used some bacon seasoning that is just herbs that I found. 2 medium potatoes, peeled and diced, which I violated that one because I never peel them. I scrubbed them and diced them in about 3/4-inch cubes. 1 medium onion chopped. I used a good size onion. 2 cups of chicken stock, which is veggie stock, of course. 1.5 cups of frozen corn. Now, this first part in putting it together so you can bracket it if you're writing is I put the onions in first and, like, caramelized them with just a little bit of broth. In the bottom of the pan, open, and when they started to stick and the bottom was brown, I threw a little bit more water in because it had gotten dry. I used not the bacon seasoning in there. What did I use? Not the mushroom. Just a veggie base that I had. Oh, chicken. I had some chicken-flavored alternative, not real chicken. Seasoning that I put in there. You guys, you need to, if you don't already have your pantry stocked with some of these flavorings that simulate what people are used to, I am going to suggest that you do that. And there's more and more of them available. I'm also going to give you another tip as soon as I get through with it. Oh, somebody had a question?
No, I was going to say, where do you get those, just at the regular grocery store or?
No, I get those, and this is what I was going to talk a little bit about, was why it's important to find a co-op, not a health food store in your area. Oh, my goodness. I just made a call before I did this, but let me finish this recipe real quick.
Go ahead.
And then, so you saute or caramelize the onion just a little bit. It takes maybe 3-4 minutes. And or maybe 5 at the most. And then you throw in your a little bit more, just a little bit of moisture on the top of it. Actually, I think I left the moisture out until I got it in. 2 tablespoons of flour. That's where I did violate. You could use whole wheat pastry flour. It doesn't make quite as smooth a base as it would if you used unbleached flour. You know, not going to kill me, and I'm not doing it for anything other than thickening. You could actually use cornstarch, but you would need to dissolve that in water. But if you throw it in when the onions are dry and caramelized, but you haven't added the moisture, and then put them and toss them around just a little bit, it'll coat into the onion. It'll immediately start to scorch in the bottom of the pan, so you immediately add some water to it, and it will be thick. Now, this was a trick we used in the restaurant without having to make a base or whip, you know, whisk flour in with water or anything like that. Just dry on whatever it is that you've started in your pan. And then I added the veggie stock, 2 cups of veggie stock, and the potatoes. Into that. So you've got the flour, the onion, the potatoes, and the veggie stock together. Okay, then after it has, you put the lid on, if you're using a pressure cooker, you don't have to use a pressure cooker, either way. You put the lid on and it cooked for 6 minutes under pressure, and they were very well soft for a soup. If you want them crunchy, you better not cook it more than probably 5 minutes in a pressure cooker. Then you add 3 cups of, it calls for milk or half and half. I used part milk alternative. The other cup and a half I used was cashew cream, and this will lead me to the next thing in just a second. Then after those have done their 5 to 6 minutes under pressure, if you're doing it that way, or until they're tender, you simply add 1/4 teaspoon of cayenne, salt and pepper to taste, and throw in 1.5 cups of frozen corn kernels, or you could use canned corn also, or fresh, you know, whatever you have. But it was so simple, so fast, and it was to die for. I know we got great soup recipes at Parkview also, but I'm just trying recipes that are coming right out of the cookbooks that have very little effort, and I can modify them. This happens to be out of my pressure cooker book. Okay, the other thing I wanted, any questions on that recipe?
Can you run through real quick how much onion, how much stock again?
Okay, it was, I'll just start. Oh, and I didn't say the bacon seasoning is when I added that towards the very end also. It's just a powder that I sprinkled in. Okay, so I started with one medium or onion chopped, caramelized. And in with that, you're going to add a full 2 cups of chicken stock.
2 cups, okay.
At the end, but you're caramelizing it as you would with just very, very little in it. Then I added 2 tablespoons of the flour to coat it and thicken the soup, and then throw the potatoes in, 2 medium-sized potatoes diced, and then when you either cook them or under pressure or just regular steam you know, boil them slightly. I would definitely cover them because you've got the flour and you don't want to be in there already, and you don't want to be losing the moisture out of the pan. It'll be too dry and you'll have to keep adding to it. And then the last thing you put in is the bacon seasoning, if you have it, and a quarter of a teaspoon of thyme, salt and pepper to taste, and 1.5 cups of either canned corn, frozen corn, or fresh corn. 3 cups of your milk when you're at the very end there also with the frozen corn and seasonings, or half and half. And I used half alternative milk and half cashew cream. The cashew cream recipe, again, is raw cashews, 1/4 cup to 1 cup of water. I made enough so I could make veggies Benedict again in the next 2 or 3 days. I made enough to make that batch also. So I mixed up about 2.5 cups, between 2.5 and 3 cups. But the proportion is 1 cup of water to 1/4 cup of cashews. Rinse the raw cashews and then put them in the, Vitamix is going to do the very best job of making that silky smooth. And it is in I probably run it for 2 minutes. Another blender is going to take longer. And if you absolutely have to, strain out any of the little pieces because you're wanting it to be silky smooth. Okay, brings me to the call I made to the co-op. Well, it's not a co-op. It's just a market that orders in whatever you'd like, I find out, because I didn't think, you know, 2 years ago to ask or a year ago to ask. And when they didn't have millet, didn't know what it was, I asked if they could see if they could order it in. So she went right to her catalog that was huge, ordered it in for me. I got an incredible price on it. So then I started asking about organic stuff, and they can order in organic on some of it also. The cashew pieces, I'm not buying organic. I know what was used, I'm sure, in Brunswick was not at the Parkview Adventist Center. Medical Center was not organic, I'm guessing. And it's hard. I guess I did in one health food store, and it was about... they were about $8 a pound for pieces. Well, I got quoted a price of $2.70 a pound. Now, for me, that is incredible for what I've been paying, even at the co-ops around here. It's been running right about $6 a pound. So $2.70 a pound, guess what, guys? I just ordered 25 pounds. And if you start doing the way we are cooking, or split it up with another person in your area that's doing this type of cooking, you're going to go through them. Keep them in a cool place in the summertime if you've got a basement, or better yet, in a freezer. And you've just cut your price down by 1/3 on one item here of what you're normally going to be paying at the health food store for sure. In one area here, in the actual health food store, they were $12 a pound.
Wow.
So I was pretty tickled about that one. How do you go about finding these places? Besides under co-ops, this one was not listed that way. I just started asking questions. I ask at a feed store, do they know of any market that has grains by the pound? And that's where I got the name of this one that we went to. Just alongside the road, I would never have guessed it. It is Mennonite-owned. Amish would be another place if you have those kinds of, people groups, okay, around you. If not, just go for a co-op or go for a place that you can Google that will send it in, because even with the shipping, you're still going to come out way ahead. We were going to make a special trip through Michigan, and I think I probably just deleted that our trip off the road for us by finding this other location that I can order through before we even leave, because that's better than some of the prices I can get on the West Coast, actually. So, any questions? Comments?
Yeah.
Yes.
A friend of mine, and you can take this for what it's worth, I worked in a health food store, and she told me that if ever she's going to treat herself to anything, it's organic cashew nuts. And she said the reason was because when the cashews come in, if they're organic, they're in a sealed can, and they're not sprayed. But the ones that are not organic are very heavily sprayed with insecticides. So for whatever that's worth, you might want to check and see.
Thank you, I will, because I would have thought they would have mentioned that at Parkview, knowing how those people are all buying. And the fact that they said rinse them always before
always
using them.
Yeah.
They carry a bacteria. So if they carry a bacteria, I'm guessing these are not heavily sprayed.
Oh, I don't know.
Would that make sense to you?
Yes, it does make sense. But I'm going to check again. I'm going to call Parkview and talk to Cheryl and see if theirs are organic.
Okay, I would like to know that also. She buys 25-pound bags of them.
Yeah.
But I noticed that some of the other stuff that I would have thought would have been organic was not, so that's why I'm saying that.
My friend is also Seventh-day Adventist and works very closely with Dr. Howe and Cheryl, so.
Oh, okay. Well, then maybe they are.
Yeah.
So I will be glad to find that out.
Yeah.
When you get a hold of them. I thought she said a bag of cashews, though, is what she was getting. So that didn't sound like hers were sealed. But anyway, I'm always open to information. Don't ever think that because I've said it, I'm strong and I'm not going to take somebody else's information and utilize it. That's never the case. So I appreciate that very, very much. Thank you. Anybody else or anything else?
This is Dottie.
Yes.
The brownies, I think I've given them like two of my kids and everything, and they didn't think they were as wonderful as the last batch that I did. So.
Oh really? And what did you do different between the two batches?
Remember the tofu was frozen.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I'm going to freeze the next batch I make. I'm going to freeze the tofu for the next batch I make and do another comparison and see which one they like better.
Okay, and you're still using silken tofu?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, I didn't do anything different except for the tofu was the only thing that was different and the food processor. So it's going to be interesting to put the tofu frozen into the food processor and see how that all works out, you know?
Well, I guess I will have to try it because Denny, the pan I just made over the weekend, two pans of them, one to give my kids as they went off on their journey down the East Coast and up into Canada. They're at Niagara Falls right now, or were yesterday. I guess they've left there and gone already, but they hadn't gotten into the pan of brownies, just that they ate both the avocados out of the tray that I put
there. Oh,
no. They love avocados, I surprised me. But anyway, Denny said he thought this was a better pan than any of them I had made. And so I guess I'm going to have to try. That means I've got to have more guests in to eat these up. We have to get rid of them. They can't be left here. I'm going to try freezing it and see what happens. I just couldn't have imagined freezing it and using it because I've never frozen silken tofu. Has anybody else on the line ever frozen silken tofu?
No, can't remember.
And then
press
moisture out of it. Jeannie, have you done that?
Well, I think I probably have. It's been a while. I don't know.
Because I was explaining to Dottie yesterday that the silken is generally used either for smoothies, they advertise it that way, which I don't put it in my smoothie, but mainly for desserts.
Yeah. Well, that's the only thing I can think of is that, you know, there wasn't as much you know, it wasn't as pretty, you know. Because when I put the tofu or something for the regular,
it wasn't as, what are you describing it as?
Like I said, I'm
okay, you're cutting out. Say that again.
Yeah, I'm kind of breaking up.
Oh,
you know, built upon the soul, so he wants to. So, hello? Did I lose you guys?
No, we're here.
Okay, no, it's just breaking up. The and then we went to that Indian restaurant yesterday.
But say what it was different. You didn't finish. We couldn't hear what you said. That it was something different.
The difference was the first batch that I make, which Bill likes better. You know, he said this batch it tastes good, but he likes the first batch that I made better. I made it in the Vitamix, and I used frozen tofu. You know, that was thawed out, and I actually pressed it. Remember how we were pressing it for the feta cheese?
Right.
You know, putting a plate and doing that, and I did that. And then this batch here, I mean, I just using a food processor, which was a lot easier, and having the fresh tofu and putting, you know, draining it and putting it in there, and it was more. Well, my son-in-law said it's more like a pudding. He thought it was.
Oh, okay. No, mine doesn't come out that way at all.
Yeah.
No. How long did you drain it?
I just drained the water, and you know, because it was like so slimy, like, you know, I was trying to hold it so I could drain it, and it was sliming all over my hands.
Okay, I just clipped the ends off, not the whole carton open, and then set it upside down for about 10 minutes and drained it
that's what I should have.
It probably had more moisture in it.
Yeah, maybe. You know, maybe that's what it was, you know. But I'm going to experiment and see. Try
yeah,
it another time.
Yeah,
Another time. Yeah, why not, you know? The heck.
Well, they're not sticking around, I can tell you that. I have to hide them until we've got people here. But and I have been refrigerating mine now that we've had Jeannie. It was warmer here than Phoenix all day yesterday.
Was it really?
Yeah, it was hot.
Yeah.
I mean, it was plenty hot. It was over 80 degrees, and it was steamy hot.
Yep.
Wow.
No rain. Today it's raining and 70-some degrees outside.
Wow. We're going up to, we're doing 85 today and 94 tomorrow.
Oh, whoa.
You really came up. No, we're not
first week
quite
of 90
yet, but it's in the 60s, so we're feeling, you know, plenty of heat for rain coming down outside by the buckets full right now.
Mm. I have a question. I have a question real quick about the seasonings. Can I find that at Sprouts, do you think, like the bacon-flavored seasoning and that
bacon kind of? Flavors, again, I've done this through the Adventist purchasing. I think they probably would. Well, you know, I've never seen them, and I go through the broth thing, so I don't know. Maybe they're in another section. It seems like they would have them, but I know that because the Adventists have always cooked this way, they think nothing of calling it chicken seasoning and chicken broth, and it's just, you know, the imitation that they put together.
I wonder, you could probably take your veggie stock and put in your chicken with a Y.
I've got a recipe. Let's see, my notebook's right here, or maybe Dottie, or I have made it out of the notebook that they gave us, chicken seasoning, and it was very good. Let me just set the phone down, and I'll look right through here and see if I can't find it. It's in the miscellaneous category. We now have 4 notebooks. You know, I decided I was going to say, for anybody that is thinking about the possibility that they would love to go through the program, it's worth it just for the food.
I know.
Especially the way he's cooking now, that he's gotten a little more acclimated to, miscellaneous is green section. Everything's color-coded, so it's pretty easy to find. Oh, chicken-style seasoning. Okay, here it is. 1.5 cups of yeast, nutritional yeast flakes, 3 teaspoons of onion powder, that would be 1 tablespoon, 2.5 teaspoons ground celery seeds, 2.5 teaspoons of garlic powder, 1.5 teaspoon of turmeric, or turmeric, 2.5 teaspoons sweet pepper flakes. So that would not be your hot red pepper, but just the sweet pepper flakes. 2 teaspoons of thyme. 1.5 teaspoons of marjoram. 1.5 teaspoons of sweet basil or basil. 1.25 teaspoons of paprika. 1 to 2 teaspoons of parsley flakes. And two tablespoons of salt. Now you whiz that in your blender until all ingredients except the parsley flakes are very fine. Then add the parsley flakes, it says.
Okay.
So did I go too fast, or did you guys get that?
On the turmeric, was it 1.5 teaspoon?
It was 1.5 teaspoon, yes.
Okay. I think I got it. 1.5 nutritional yeast flakes. 1.5 teaspoons. Tablespoons.
Right. No, I'm sorry. Did I say not teaspoons? Cups. 1.5 cups of yeast flakes.
Yeah. I didn't get that down.
The
that's
main
why
ingredient.
I was... That's the main thing, is the flakes. Okay. 3 teaspoons onion powder, 2.5 teaspoons ground celery seeds, 2.5 teaspoons of garlic powder, 1/2 teaspoon turmeric, 2.5 teaspoons of sweet pepper flakes, 2 teaspoons of thyme, 1.5 teaspoons marjoram, 1.5 teaspoons sweet basil, 1.25 teaspoons paprika, 1 to 2 teaspoons of parsley flakes, and 2 tablespoons of salt.
Right, got it. Whiz in the blender, everything except the parsley flakes, and add them. And I'm not going to count.
You got
over 1.5 cups, because you're starting with 1.5 cups of yeast flakes. So, although when it's powdered, it packs down a little more. I made a smaller proportion of it just to try it, but I'll give you my word, it's good. So, if you want,
and that was used for what?
For chicken broth, you know,
okay.
Where you want something other than just a. I mean, I use it like I would veggie broth, because I'm not keeping the cartons of vegetable broth around anymore.
Yeah.
I start with the pie mag water and go from there, and then throw in either that, what I just gave you. They've got a beef flavor. I don't know that I've got a recipe for that, but I've got a beef flavored I've used in with soups also. And it's not because I'm so hung up on trying to get a meat flavor. It's just that that's what more people are used to. And when
I can't tell
the difference between what I'm making, you know, that's fine. That doesn't bother me at all.
Right. That's what I'm having people come for dinner that, you know, and I could throw that in to help them out in their transition,
yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm. And you know, they're just herbs anyway, so what difference does it make which ones you're using for the most part?
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing in there that's a negative in the seasoning, so... you know, it doesn't offend me or Denny. I mean, we don't even think about it. I just automatically do it. I guess I haven't talked about it much because it's just what I'm using for my base.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Well,
you're certainly welcome. Anybody else have a question? We're past time.
Yeah, I caught the end of that. What was that, a chicken stock that you made?
Yeah, it's like a chicken base for seasoning. It's, you know, it's just easy to have on hand and give you just a different variety of flavors to, you know, whatever you're putting it in.
Right.
Sure.
Something to sit down, you know.
But back to the pressure cooker.
Yes.
I'm about to order one today or tomorrow. I hope I'm not making a mistake. It's a big one. It's a 25 quart or 19 pints.
And you're doing a lot of canning then?
Yes.
Okay. I used to have one of those at home, and I would probably consider that. I can do, I think it's 7 pints in my 8 quart one, but I use it for cooking as much as I use it for, well, way more than I use it for canning. I do pints of a lot of things. I don't do a lot of quarts. Tomatoes maybe is about the amount that I would use for quarts. Like even with pumpkin and squashes and stuff like that, I will still put most of that in pints for us. So my 8-quart one will do the canning as well. Especially in the pints. I can get, I think it's 5 quarts in my 8-quart one. How many quart did you say?
It's a 25-quart liquid capacity. 7.
Yeah, mine's an 8-quart liquid capacity. That's huge.
Yeah, this is 7 quarts or 19 pint jars.
Yeah, that's a lot of capacity. See, the thing with the way this one works, and does not have the gauge on it, 5, 10, or, you know, 20 pound, whatever.
This one does.
Is that it, when it, I don't have to wait for the pressure to go down. The minute I'm through my 6 minutes, I pull it off the burner. I instantly put a fork under the little cap that sets over the, where it eliminates the steam. And the fork tines will hold that up in 60 to 90 seconds. All the pressure is gone out of it.
Oh, that's neat.
And so I can start refilling it again or go on to my next step in the recipe. So when by the time I've loaded my quarts or pints in there and they only take 20 minutes to process under pressure, I can't fill that many jars again and be ready to do another batch.
That's true.
So that's why I've been using the smaller one. Now, the one that I just ordered is even half that capacity. I don't know whether it's going to take pints. They didn't talk about it for canning. But it'll definitely get used on the road because I take it on the road with me whenever we're going someplace because I do my meal cooking in it.
Well, this place is called BePrepared.com, and it's a really neat, they send me a book each month. And I order all of my dehydrated foods. I buy a lot of dehydrated apples, apple slices, and bananas, and vegetables. And the cans, they're number 10 cans, and they last 25 years.
That's okay, so it's called BePrepared.com?
Right, BePrepared.com. And they have everything. They have, you know, fruits, vegetables. They have all kinds of things to get to be prepared, you know, like your 72-hour kit and your and soups, and they just have everything in it. It's one of our church websites that we use. It's not owned by the church, but I'm sure church people run it.
Okay, so is that all organic stuff too then?
Not all of it. You have to ask what's
okay, because if they're processing like apples that aren't organic, I'd be real not good. I'd not feel good about that, you know, because of the pesticides that are used on that stuff. That would be my concern about what they've got already made. Now, as far as what you're purchasing and looking at, you know, the pressure cooker, I want to compare and see what they've got, so I'm very interested. So thank you for that information, Loretta, very much so.
There's a phone number here if you want it. You can just call it.
Okay, why don't you go ahead for other people?
1-800-999-1863.
999-1863.
Just ask them what they have, and they'll tell you. But, you know, I'm buying a lot of this for my food storage, so when it comes time that I need my food storage, I'm not much going to care if it's organic or not, as long as I got food to eat. You know what I mean?
Okay.
When there's an emergency or some situation where you can't get food and you have your own food on hand.
Right. I have not done it for that reason, but trust me, I could live out of my pantry for a good year, so without, you know, any problem. And if the Earth's totally wiped out, I guess we won't be doing anything with it afterwards anyway. So I don't know. Anyway, but I do that type of thing just for the convenience and for the control I've got of what I'm doing, especially now that I plan on doing more gardening. So, you know, we have different reasons sometimes for how we think about things.
Right.
But we're coming to the same end result. And I am concerned about a disaster or an earthquake. I mean, we had one, you know, Mount St. Helens erupted, and
Right. Shoot,
it just ruined everything in the garden, or, you know, the ash that was on everything, even in our area for a period of time. So those are just natural disasters that can occur and make it difficult, as well as, you know, things that happen that we don't have control over besides disasters, so terrorism or whatever. But anyway, I'm not worried about it. I'm just into that is the way that my family grew up living, was we stocked up because we had a garden and we wanted then to have better tasting food than we could get out of cans. And so that's why we did ours. So anyway, guys, we are way past the time that we told
Okay.
That we would give to the call. So, sorry, I apologize to anybody that's still left on the line. Thank you for your participation this morning, all of you.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
You too. Stay cool.